Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be in the house of God. We come to this place with an expectation that we're going to meet with the presence of God and the creator of the universe. And if we come in faith believing and we meet with him, how many of you know there's no way we can leave here the same way we came in? Some of us just need to leave some stuff here because he can handle it. And then take some stuff from him that's going to be some good stuff. Can you say amen? If you didn't take a moment to do that, if you could take your cell phones and text your attendance. Pastor Jerry was asked that I announce that. 870-818-4440. If you have a moment, you can do that. And then if you extend it a long time, it takes you a long time to do that. And I'll think you're texting your attendance. You can be surfing the web, being on Facebook or whatever, right? No, just text your attendance, and that lets us know that you're here. When you text that, if you will just put your name, that way we'll know who it is that texted that ministry phone, and it lets us know that you're here and that you're doing well. Amen? All right. Want to take just a moment and do something that I wouldn't ordinarily do, but I'm having a proud daddy moment, and so is that okay if I do that? Yeah. So I was looking across the way over here at one of my sons, and I was reminded that this is Ethan's last Sunday here, because he's going off to the next step in the journey that God has for him. Ethan's going to be leaving to go to Oral Roberts University, and so thankful for that. And so it's going to be a couple of weeks, but he's going to be on the road. He's going to be on the road a week with me, and then he's going to be with his grandparents, and so he won't be back in here. And so we're thankful. Aren't you thankful that the greatest blessings in all of life for serving God is his goodness in our family?
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for the largest title or the biggest bank account or any of that. I'm just thankful for a family that loves the Lord and wants to follow him. And to this point, unless he's really got me faked out, I'm not having to leverage him in that direction. That's the desire of his heart. And we just believe that God's got good things in store for him. So, Ethan, we love you. And I know some of you other parents in here are doing some of the same things. You're getting ready to send them off. And be okay. Let's just say a short word of prayer for all of the parents and grandparents that have children and grandchildren that are going off to school. Some have already gone. Some of our Victory grads are already at colleges taking summer classes. And so, Father, we don't want to do anything but look to you, God, in every step of our life. God, over all of these children and grandchildren, God, that are going off to take the next step in life, we just apply the blood over them. The powerful blood of Jesus that has kept them and protected them and provided for them. The blood is just as powerful as it goes with them where you've called them to be, God. Keeping them from every wrong relationship, God, from every wrong decision, God. Bringing them into your purposes and your plans, God, for their lives and their future spouses and their children. God, I thank you that your blessing is upon the generations that follow us, God, because that's your covenant. And so, God, we bless them and we call them blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for letting me do that. And praise God. They say something happens to the nest when birds start flying away. I don't know what happens to it. It gets richer, I think. I don't know. No, not when they're going to college. It doesn't. Praise God. God is our supplier. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Jerry and Pastor Lane have been ministering to us for a number of weeks now on the calling. And the emphasis has been the passionate pursuit of the presence of God. And hopefully our hearts, if they're the ears of our spirit are open at all, we are beginning to get a sense of the importance, not that we haven't had it, but the vital importance of the presence of God in our lives. Can you sense the Holy Spirit tugging on us believers, tugging on us as a church to come nearer him, to draw nearer to him? And so we've been talking about the calling of God to be with him and to go with him. And I want to talk to you under that this morning, for a few minutes about unknown territory. Unknown territory. One of the prophetic words that was given over this church at the same time that the word was given over the church about harvest was this, that we have not passed this way before. We have not passed this way before. And God has taken us to a place that we have not been before. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about what we need and what we can expect if we're going to journey with the Holy Spirit to this land that He is calling us to. How many of you know that if we're not growing, then we're dying spiritually? Anything healthy is going to be growing and it's going to be moving. How many of you want to be growing in God and moving with the presence of God? Listen, it's not an accident if we move with the presence of God. It's because we've made up our mind that it's the most important thing in all of the world. And we set our eyes on Him and we make Him the priority of our life. Because if we don't, then we're deceived. Everything else in this life pales in comparison to the presence of God and our relationship with the Lord. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes along the line of that word that's been given over the church. And let me just say this. Everybody put your hands right here on this. Say, I am the church. God's not taking the Victory Church somewhere and leaving us over here. If you weren't here this morning, there wouldn't be a church here. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. I don't know if you're a toenail or an elbow or an eyelid or an arm or a leg. Do you follow what I'm saying? When God calls His body to go somewhere, He doesn't call a finger to go. He calls the body to go. It wouldn't do Him any good to get bits and pieces of the body somewhere. He needs the whole body to be there. He wants all of us. So when God says to us that He's taking us as a church somewhere we've never been, how many of you know, first of all, we can trust God that it's going to be good? He only has our good in mind. But the other thing is, it means that if you're connected to this church, and we're, I grew up with the whole, like, I would look at the sign on the board, you know, I'd sit in the seat, and sometimes I wasn't thinking about what I should be thinking about when I was a kid. And I'd be looking at the board on the wall, and it would say, you know, members, and it would be like, you know, 2,000, no, not really, but like, you know, 150, and it'd be attended last Sunday, 17, you know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, we believe that there's more to church than coming to church. It's being knit together by the Holy Spirit to become one with a spiritual family, to be part of a body that has a mission and a calling and a destiny to do something that we could not do on our own. I was having that conversation again with somebody this week. I need to record that so I can just play it back. The thing about church, why do I need to go to church? I can worship God just as good without church. I don't need the church. I love God. I'm on my way to heaven. But when Jesus revealed Himself for the first time as being the Son of God, the Messiah, when He was on this planet, He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And immediately when He was revealed for who He was, He said, "And this is why I'm here." He said, "You're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church." So being a part of a church is not being a number on a board up front or having your membership letter on file. It is about being a part of something that is alive and vital and growing and impactful and anointed. And we can't do it the way God wants to do it unless we're connected. That's not a guilt trip. If I run into you at Walmart next week and you've missed a Sunday, don't say this to me first thing: "I'm sorry I missed church." You know, that's not what it's about. It's not, "I was in church, I made church." It's about being connected to the body of Christ. Number one, so that I can receive all of the benefits that God has implanted in the church that I can only gain from being connected to a body of believers. And secondly, so that I can flow out of me into that body every gift and every anointing and every ability that I've received from the Spirit of God to be a blessing to those that I walk with. So that's what it means to be a part of a body. So when God says, I'm taking you, for everything there is a season, right? The kingdom of God is seasonal. It's seasonal. And back at the beginning of the year, I felt like what the Lord said in conjunction with the other things. And if you don't know what the Lord said back at the beginning of the year over this body of believers, then get with us and so we can get you the words that came forth. Because it's vital that we know where God is going and we get on board with where God is going. And so we want to know what it is. We want to know where it is that God is going. And when he says that he's taking this church somewhere, that it's a year of transition, it's a new season, as Pastor Lane said. God is bringing us into a new season, a harvest season. And what all that means, we don't know. One thing we do know, that as a church, harvest to the kingdom of God means that the lost are going to be saved. Yes. That the broken are going to be healed. And the wounded and the bound are going to be set free, because that is the core of the kingdom message. But it is a season of movement. It's a season of transition. It's a season of out with the old and in with the new. And what God has said is we're going somewhere we have not been. We're not just moving around the same mountain. He's moving us somewhere that's unfamiliar. He's moving us somewhere that we won't be able to make it without his presence. He's moving us somewhere that's gonna bring greater battles, and there's gonna be bigger enemies, but as Dutch Sheet said, they're gonna fall even faster because there's gonna be greater victories. How many of you believe that and want to be a part of that? Or how many of you just want to come to church and leave and go do your life? That's not what we were created for. And so when God tells us as a church, get on board with the body that God's connected you with. Go with the Spirit. Get close to God, because where he wants to take us is only going to be possible with his presence. So he's calling for us to experience him in greater measure. We say, well, I've got God in me. Yes, I've got God in me. But if we acknowledge him 60 seconds a day, how many of you know that he could be much more with us than 60 seconds a day? He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. And we want to walk with God. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about what we can expect if we choose to step forward into this journey that the Holy Spirit is calling us to, what we need and what we can expect. So let me start off with our text in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. I want to read this because it's the words that is part of the prophetic word that God spoke over us as a church. Everybody put your hands on your chest and say, which means me, because I am the church. And we're going to extract 4 points from this morning before we're done. We're talking about unknown territory. Joshua chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, it says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, which was symbolic of the body of Christ, God's chosen people. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is our goal and our role in life. The children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. Verse 2, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. And let's put it on pause. What has Pastor been teaching us? What does the ark represent? It's the very presence of God. In the Old Testament, it's where God chose to dwell, in the ark. The ark ultimately wound up in the temple. The presence of God ultimately dwelt in the temple in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, after Jesus came and he died on the cross and he said, it is finished. In that moment, the veil of the temple was rent. And not only did we have access now, not just the Levitical priesthood, but now every believer had access to come into the Holy of Holies. But not only that, the Spirit that was in dwelling there with the ark in the Holy of Holies in the temple, the Spirit of God came out and we became the temple. We became the temple. We are the carriers of the presence of God. And so it says that whenever you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites, they're the ones that were called by God to carry it at that time, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Everybody say, go after it. Amen. Circle it, star it, highlight it, whatever you write it on your hand. What God said was, what I'm about to tell you is all going to be predicated on one thing. That when you see the presence of God move, you better go after it. You better go after it. If you don't want to be left in the dust, if you don't want to die, if you don't want to settle where you're at, you better watch for the presence of God. You better be attentive for the presence of God. You better have eyes to see and ears to hear the presence of God. And when it moves, he didn't say, start getting packed up or whatever. Leave whatever you got to leave. And go after the presence of God. And God is telling us in this season that the only way we're going to step into the next part of this thing is that if we go after the presence of God. Now, what does that look like? It looks like a lot of different things. And for you, it may look a little different than it does for me. But if we put ourselves in a position where we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we'll know what it means for us. One of the things is there's a greater call for prayer. There's a greater call for intercession. There's a greater call for being in the presence of God and making the presence of God the highest priority in our life. Not to just go in so we can get what we think we need or what we want from God like a spiritual slot machine, but rather going into the presence of God, understanding that He's the creator of the universe. And before we ever breathed our first breath on this planet, He had written out a plan and a destiny and a calling for every one of our lives. He's no respecter of persons. And He wants to do marvelous, magnificent, amazing things in us and through us in this earth. He says that the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. If you ever looked at the earth from space and you see that, I don't know the percentages, Miss McRae. What is it? It's like 70-some% of the earth is water, and you see all of the blue. He said, when I'm going to look at the earth, and my glory is going to cover the earth just like that. And the way it's going to happen is through you and me. That's the only way it's going to happen. Because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it. And we're not going to get into all this, but basically it says about 2,000 cubits by measure. Don't come too near it. You know all the things that were involved with that. But he says this, watch it so that you'll know by which way you must go, for you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. So when God tells us He's carrying us somewhere that we have not been, there are no signs that we can recognize because we've not been this way before. We don't know what the dangers are. We don't know what the battles are. We don't know what the strategies are. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows way better than Siri how to get us there. There were basically three groups of people associated with this calling of God. There was the group of people that had seen the mighty miracles of God in Egypt, the 10 plagues and the most powerful ruler, one of the most powerful kingdoms to ever be on the planet. To see Moses be used by an instrument as an instrument of God to free the children of Israel out of 500 years of slavery and bondage because God heard their cry for freedom and He raised up a deliverer. Aren't you glad that God hears our cry? But this group of people came out of Israel, and what should have been a very short journey to their promised land became a very long journey, or not a journey at all, but a resting in the wilderness. And God had called a group of people to go to a place that they had never been. He wanted to take them out of Egypt, and then He needed some time to get the Egypt out of them. Do you know what I'm talking about? the way they thought and the way that they believed and their culture, they had been immersed in the wrong things. And God said, I'm going to deliver you out of that. But after I deliver you out of that, there's some work that we're going to do together so we can get that out of you. And God is doing that in our lives to the extent that we will allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. We don't ever want to be a people that get stiff-necked and hard-hearted and who say, I've come far enough and this is good enough for me. But that's what happened with the majority of these children of Israel. They begin to say things like, well, I just wish we were back in Egypt. Things were better there. You know, at least we had meat to eat there and all this. And all the time, God is miraculously doing things all around them. And because they did not recognize the Spirit of God, and because they did not recognize the move of God, and because they would not get on board with the presence of God, they died in the wilderness. The majority of them did. Now, then there was a second group of people who came beyond the wilderness and they came to the precipice of the Jordan River. They came to the shore of the Jordan River. There were three tribes that said, wow, it was great to be delivered. Wow, it was great to go beyond the wilderness. But you know what? We've come far enough. When I look at where you're saying we're going, that looks a little bit more than what we want to take on. And because of that, we're just going to set our roots down right here. And even though you're saying that you're going to go there, we're going to be okay with staying here. How many of you know that's not a good choice? That's not a good decision. Remember back a little bit earlier when God was trying to get them to move before that generation died. God was like, okay, it's time to go. And the people were like, no, right? And God got frustrated with them and he said, fine, don't go, stay. And they're like, okay, we're ready, you know? That's like us sometimes. And he's like, okay, fine, go. If you want to go, though, I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel to go with you. And you remember the conversation that Moses had with the Lord, what he said? He said, if you're not going, I'm not going. Because wherever you're at, that's where I'm going to be. And that is the cry of this season right now. It's not what looks right. It's not what feels right. It's not what other people say is right unless they're hearing from the Holy Spirit. It's where God is at is the place to be. Moses said, I'd rather be in the wilderness with your presence than in the land flowing with milk and honey without you. He understood that it was the only thing that makes the difference is the presence of God. And that's what God is speaking to us in this season. We have not gone this way before. And if His presence isn't moving, then we're not going to move. But there was a group of people that said, God, more than anything else in life, more than anything else in life, we want what you want. We want to go where you say go. And no matter who we have to leave, we don't want to leave anybody. How many of you know God wants everybody to come? Whosoever will. He wants everybody to come. But on a journey like this, the reality is not everybody's going to make the choice to make the presence of God the most important thing. Maybe it's my desires. Maybe it's my traditions. Maybe it's my weakness. Maybe it's my selfishness. Maybe it's my whatever, fill in the blank. He said, have no other gods before me. Don't worship any other idols. Anything else in life, whether it's good or bad, that we hold up that will keep us from going where he says go is an idol in our life. So we can say that we love God, and that's all good. And we can be saved, but we can also be stuck and saved. And we don't want to be those that are stuck and saved. We want to be those that are going where God says to go. God wants us alive. He wants us filled with grace and power and joy and anointing. He wants to bring us into a place that we've never, ever been. Do you want to go? We want to go in Jesus' name. So there was a group that said they were going to go. I want to real quickly talk to you about four quick lessons that we can learn from Israel's journey into a new land that they had never been in before. What we need and what to expect. And the first one, Brother Jerry's been preaching it for weeks, and I just Second, what he's been ministering. And number one is we need, we must have, we must follow the presence of God. It can't be overstated. It can't be overemphasized. We must follow the presence of God. And you remember in Joshua chapter 3, verse 14, they bring it up on the screen. It says, when the people set out to cross the Jordan, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them, the presence of God. Now, it was harvest season and the Jordan was overflowing. You know, where God's taking us, how many of you know it's never easy. It's never easy. You know, the timing of God could have been, you know, you ever had this conversation with God? Well, you know, your timing could be a little bit better. Have you ever felt that way about God? You know, why not bring us across the Jordan during the drought season? You know what I'm saying? Where it hadn't rained in weeks and months, and it's like I could just step over. But he wasn't calling them to go somewhere they could take themselves. He was calling them somewhere where only his presence going before them would make a way. Now, it was the harvest season. The Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water began piling up. How many know when the presence of God gets involved, nothing is impossible? Amen. Have you been guilty like me of in your life fighting your own battles, having your own ideas, beating the wind, treading water? You know what I'm talking about? And God is saying all the time, get with me. We can get there. Get with me. We can get there. So you know the story. I won't read all that because we need to move on. But when the presence of God hit the Jordan, the water stopped. It was dry land. All the children of Israel walked through the turnstile, if you will, of the Jordan River. And they set their feet on the land which God had prophetically promised them centuries before. It was a new land. And how many of you think that when they hit that land, their perception of what was going to happen might have been a little different than the reality that they experienced? You know, I'm kind of guessing that they're thinking that this is the promised land, right? The land flowing with milk and honey and all this. And they're thinking, although there were spies that went out, I'm thinking that they were probably thinking that it was going to be a bit easier than it was. But it was a new land with new blessings, new grace, new prosperity, but it also came with new battles. It came with new opposition. It came with new enemies. There was no surprise to God, but may have been surprised to a lot of people. But how many of you know that there is nothing too hard for our God? Yeah. So we need the presence of God. We must follow the presence of God if we're going to go forward. Number two, what can we expect? Number two, the presence of God, if we'll follow it, the presence of God will lead us to a place of confidence. Let me say, I didn't put this in my notes, but greater confidence. Write that down. If we follow the presence of God, he will lead us to a place of greater confidence. Joshua 6:1, they crossed the Jordan and immediately where the Spirit of God led them was to an impossible situation. That's where he led them. You know, I would have thought maybe he would have started off with something really small to kind of build up their... How many know God don't want us to have self-confidence? He wasn't interested in building their self-confidence. He was interested in building their faith and their trust in him. So he brought them to Jericho, a mighty fortified city that in the natural they had absolutely zero ability to overcome. They didn't have the artillery. They didn't have the armory. They didn't have the experience. They didn't have the army. They didn't have anything of what they needed. On the first step in the journey, God, if you said I would follow you, then things would fall into place. No, what he said was, if you'll follow me, I'll make sure that you come into your victory. So he brought them to the place of impossibility. If we're going to follow the presence of God into the next season, one thing we can be sure of is we're going to immediately be faced with impossible situations. Because God is interested in showing us that we cannot trust in ourselves. The only one that we can trust in is God. And that's going to show up in a number of different forms in a lot of people's lives. And what may seem impossible to me, you may think that's not a big deal, but it's because my faith hasn't risen to the level to overcome that yet. And God is faithful to me that He will bring me to a place where I have to press hard enough, where my faith is built so that Jesus is the only one in whom I trust, so that my faith works to bring the victory. A completely impossible situation with a completely impossible strategy. I mean, how silly. I'm wondering if Joshua felt as silly, you know? I mean, it's like Sunday school class, right? It's like, you know, okay, let's march around. Was there a song like that? Miss Elaine, was there a march around Jericho? Yeah, that's right. Well, you know the whole story. So walk around the city, right? Walk around the city once a day. On the seventh day, walk around it seven times and blow your trumpet. Not an impossible situation, an impossible strategy, but nothing is impossible for God. God will bring us to a place where we have to lean into Him. We can't follow God and trust in chariots and horses. And, you know, God wants to bring us to a place where trust is more than a buzzword for us. Oh, I'm trusting God. Well, are we really? I mean, let's just be honest here. Okay. I'm pretty good at saying all the religious cliches, y'all. I practiced them a bunch over the years. It's my daddy's fault because I was raised in church all my life. I've heard them. They're just kind of second nature. Well, let's just trust God. Let's just trust God. We're just trusting God. How many know there's a difference in saying it and doing it? If you want to build up muscles like these, I'm joking. They tell me if you want to build up muscles, you get a membership to the gym. And you go press weight, right? Bench press. What do? You put more on there than what you can comfortably lift. And you begin to press against that opposition. You begin to press against that weight. And as you do, you begin to tear down the muscle and rebuild it. God will bring us, we can be guaranteed, He will bring us into a place that presses our confidence, presses our faith, so that we have to press back against that impossible situation as He builds greater confidence in Him. David said, whatever time, what time? It's one of my favorite verses. What time? What time? What time I'm afraid? I'll trust. I'll trust. I'll trust. What time I come up against Jericho? I'll trust. When my kid's lost and is a prodigal, what time? What time is it in your life? Whatever time it is, you can be sure that you can trust in God. Number three, go quick. So we know the story, right? They trusted God. They did what He said do, and God brought them a mighty victory. God will bring us to a place where we have greater confidence in Him. And we know that it was Him, and we know that without Him in His presence, it's not possible. Yeah. Let me ask you today, what's your Jericho? Yeah. What is your Jericho? If we could fill out a piece of paper and you could turn it in up here today, what is it in your life that when you look at it, you know it's an impossibility unless God moves? Then that's a good place to be. Because it brings us to a place of dependence and trust in the only one who can make those walls fall. There's a bunch of good verses. Not by might or by power, right? It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, it says, it was by faith or confidence in God that the people of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was faith. It was faith that did that. Third point, or the second thing that we can expect, is that the presence of God will lead us to a place of greater consecration. Not only greater confidence, but greater consecration. Immediately after the walls of Jericho fell, they came upon the next step in their journey as they were going into a place they had never gone before. And that second place was a small little town with a small little army that they were certainly sure that this would be no big deal at all, because God had proven Himself so faithful and He had shown how powerful He was at the previous step. And so the spies came back, or the scouts came back and said, oh, Joshua, just send a few people. We got this. We got this. Now, there's several things in this, but I want to concentrate on one. First of all, this, we've always got to be listening to God. We can't just assume anything. How many of you know that following the presence of God means tuning into the presence of God? But anyway, they did what they thought, and they went out and they had a mighty what? Defeat. They had a mighty defeat. And they came back and everybody was like, what's going on? This is the promised land. We crossed the Jordan and the walls of Jericho fell. And we believe God and we believe God. But what they didn't know that there was something underneath. There was something underneath. And I don't want to concentrate on Achan the man as much as I do just the principle. And the principle is this, is that when we have things that are hidden underneath in our life, they weaken us. They put us in a place of vulnerability. They put us in a place where we often live in areas of our life in perpetual defeat. When we come up against it, we find ourselves on the losing end of the deal time after time after time. And we're like, God, you took me across the Jordan, and God, you love me, and God, you helping me overcome, and what's going on? And there's something there that God wants to lovingly bring to the surface. There's things in our life that there is a place of greater consecration that if we go where He's called us to go, there will be things in our life that are going to begin to surface. Has anybody had any of them recently?
Yeah.
You want my list? And God begins to uncover the dirt inside the tent and begins to lovingly point out that this can't be there if you're going to go where I'm calling you to go. Now, there's a couple of ways you can look at this. There can be obvious, blatant sin issues, which basically Achan's was, right? God said, don't take any of the spoil, and he took the spoil. And he hid it in his tent. I don't really know what he thought he was going to do with it anyway. There weren't any cash registers out there, right? You know, I'm going to take the silver and the gold, and I don't know, and bury it in the ground. And it wasn't a good decision, but how many of you have been guilty of not making a good decision in life? And I do it all the time. And so there were some things there. So there can be blatant sin issues in our life. And if there are blatant sin issues in our life, often, particularly if we're trying to live for God and we love God, it's a stronghold that we have in our life. We haven't shaken it because maybe it's a generational stronghold and we find ourselves battling, but we've got to get strong enough through the power of the blood and the power of the name to overcome that thing. Because those things in our life keep us in defeat. And those things the blood can take care of. The blood can take care of. The blood is strong enough to forgive me and to free me if I believe in it and I access it. But I just want to back off of that just a little bit. And I'm going to talk about just for a second. Sometimes there's things that are underneath that keep me in perpetual defeat in my life. They drain the joy out of my life. They drain the peace out of my life. Yes, I'm a part of the people of God and I'm with the people of God. But I'm overcome instead of overcoming. And there's things underneath the surface that the Holy Spirit, if we'll find ourselves in His presence and we'll say, speak to me, I want to see, I want to hear, I want to feel, then He'll begin to surface those things in my life. He'll begin to surface those things that aren't pretty and they're not nice, but they've got to go. In Joshua 7:13, it says, get up, command the people to consecrate themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. How many of you know that any territory in my life, all territory in my life is set apart for the Lord? If my life belongs to Him, it's all set apart for Him. And so any area of my life that's covered up with something other than His presence, then it's taking His place. And consecration is about getting that area out of the dark and out of the bondage and into to the light. Be it hurt or pain from my past, be it an addiction, Be it bitterness or unforgiveness, be it attitudes, be it self-righteousness, whatever it is that lurks beneath the surface of my life that is not consecrated wholly to God, if we surrender to Him. So here's, you know, if you're like me, this has probably been your life at many times. Oh, God, I love you. I surrender to you. I want to follow fully after you. And he pinpoints something. Then it's like, whoa. Do you know what I'm talking about? That hurts too much. That's too valuable. That's too embarrassing. So we back off of it. That area that's to be consecrated to God, that's too scary. I can't touch that. It may blow up in my face. And so we back off of it. And what happens? God requires our participation to bring us freedom. He said, I desire truth in the inward parts. You'll know my truth. And when you know my truth, I'll set you free. What happens is when truth begins to come our way over those issues, those underlying issues in our life, then what we do is we back off because it's too whatever. You know, have you had a whatever? You know what I'm talking about? That's too whatever. God, I can't. And so what happens is we're stuck right there. And we can't follow the presence of God. And until we're willing to trust him with that area, that insufficiency, that weakness, that iniquity, that sin, that bondage, that hurt, that pain, that unforgiveness, that offense, that anger, that pride, whatever, until we allow him to come in and to dig it up and apply the blood to us, though our sins be as scarlet, though our weaknesses, how many know that he can wash them whiter than snow? He wants to make us whole. I know that's a play on words, but he said, be ye holy as I am holy. He wants us to be wholly his. Whole. The devil works to make us pieces. God works to put them all together to make us whole. Our advancement and our victory, listen, our advancement and our victory is not a given. It's not a given. When people say this, well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. Ask them a little bit later how that's working out for them. Don't let that be your theology. That if it's God's will, it'll happen. He wrote it in his book a long time ago. So if it, okay, sera, sera, whatever it'll be, whatever God wants, that's what God, if God wants to heal me, he'll heal me. No. Yeah, it is his will to heal you. But our victory is dependent upon what we do with that promise. So we have to get engaged with the war. We have to get engaged with the battle. We have to follow the presence. We have to hear the word. Our advancement in victory is not a given. Rather, it's dependent on our participation with the Holy Spirit and what he's trying to do in our lives. Let me just make this announcement. AI is a good place to be. AI is a good place to be. Because until God can deal with that thing, we're not going any further. AI is a good place to be. How many of you know he's the deliverer? He's the healer. He's the restorer. He's the forgiver. Amen. In the last point right here. Oh, but let me read this. I just love this verse too much. It was in a hard time. It was in an embarrassing time. It was in a hurtful time for David. But he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. Yeah. Let's just do that right now. Just say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Not what I see as clean, but what you call clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit, God. We want to be of the right spirit. God, we're thankful that you've brought us to this place. God, we thank you that you're transitioning us into something that's going to bring you glory. God, and if these wounds have to be, excuse me, if these wounds have to be exposed, God, they're going to be exposed as scars, healed wounds that are going to bring you glory. And we're going to be able to say, see this right here? See this right here? This used to be what kept me. But God freed me. And he can free you too. He can heal you too. He can deliver you too. He can restore you too. Thomas said, unless I can see the nail prints, I can't believe. There's some people, and your arena of life, that unless they see the work that God has done in you, that we're not a perfect plastic Christian, that we're human, that the enemy's beat up on and tripped up, and but God has picked us up and He's healed us up and He's fixed us up. And we can say He can do the same for you. In Jesus' name. And lastly, I need to hurry and close because I think I started early. I can't go by this clock. Does anybody know what time I started? If you do, you've been watching your watch too much. I'm off next Sunday, so I got to preach twice as long. How about that? I hate when preachers say stuff like that. My fourth close. Anyway, number four. We'll try to wrap it with this one. And really, I think I'm just going to touch on this one, but it's a place that I'd like to come back to at some point. He's going to... I know I needed that music, but if I keep that music, I might go way deep right here. So if you could back that off just a minute for me, Gary, and I'll call for it in a second. Number four, what we can expect. The presence of God will lead us, if we will follow it, to a place of greater confrontation. Greater confrontation. Not only confidence in Him, and not only greater consecration, which those things are inward. Those things are inward. But when He begins to settle those things in my life, and obviously that's going to be an ongoing process, but when He begins to get those things settled in my life, then He will bring us to a place where we're ready to deal with some greater confrontation out here. Let's read a passage. How many of you know we have an enemy? How many know we have an enemy? Well, I know that's taught enough around here that you know you have an enemy. You're either asleep or you're not paying attention, because we have an enemy. He roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. I was watching T.D. Jakes this week, and he said, "The thief comes." Did y'all see that? The thief comes. I don't know. He screamed it probably 50 times. The thief comes. That's what Jesus said. The thief comes. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes. We have an enemy. And we can't just do this part of the Christian life and ignore this part of the Christian life. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight. If your Christian walk does not require any spiritual fighting, then you're in the dark. So what happened was they went Jericho, Ai, and then let's pick up in Joshua chapter 9. I'm going to try to bring this to a quick close. Joshua chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan," all the kings, everybody say all the kings, "in the hills and in the lowland and in all the coast of the great sea towards Lebanon," and they must have liked the name Ite, but anyway, "the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite or the Hivite, and the Jebusite, when they heard about it." What did the enemy hear? I love to read in the Old Testament. I used to miss it. But when you read the Old Testament and you read what the enemy was thinking and feeling about the approaching nation of Israel, they quaked in their boots because they could see the power of God. And they could see what was coming. When they heard of what God had done for the children of Israel, when they heard about it, then they decided, we can't beat this on our own. So they came together. So they came together. They gathered together for one purpose, and that was to fight against God's destiny. So what's going to happen as we go this way, we're going to find that there are greater enemies that we have not faced before, because they're coming in league and accord with one another. That word accord, Pastor brought this up the other night. He was talking about a joining together of the forces of darkness, a joining together of the principalities. And that's not just talk. It's the enemy sees what God wants to do in the church, through the church, which means in you and through you and me. And so what he says is, we got to come together. Nothing else is going to bring us together, but we can come together in unison to oppose the work of God. So some of the battles that you and I are fighting right now are bigger battles, because we're fighting a bigger enemy. But that's not to be scaring us, because God's got no problem having already defeated all of our enemies. I want you to notice that word in verse 2. It says, "They gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel and with one accord." With one accord. That word accord there means mouth. They begin to say the same thing. They begin to say the same thing. They came into unity of what they had to say. How many of you know the enemy has a voice? Yeah. He has a voice. Let's go ahead and read. Verse 3, but when the inhabitants of Gibeon, everybody say Gibeon, heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai. Now these were also enemies in the land, right? They worked craftily with deceit and with cunning and with ruse. And they went and they pretended to be something that they weren't. How many of you know that if we don't have the Spirit of God, then we don't have discernment? The enemy came, sheep in wolves' clothing, and they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended. Another version says where they worked craftily. The NLT says they resorted to deception to save themselves. How many of you know nothing's below the enemy? He'll do whatever it takes to hold on to that territory so that your marriage doesn't become what God wants it to be. So that your ministry doesn't come to be what God has called it to be. So that this church doesn't enter into what God has called it to be. There's nothing off limits. The enemy will do anything necessary to oppose the work of God. And we just need to know that because we have an adversary and it's not Tom or Joe or Jane or Stephen. How many of you know it's the forces of darkness? Yeah. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Yeah, I have to tell myself that 100 times a day. My battle is not with flesh and blood. People are not my problem. People are not your problem. Yeah. Gibeon is your problem. It's the enemy that comes to convince you of something that is not true. And so the story goes like this. They say we came from afar off. You know, Joshua and the people knew that all the inhabitants of the land they were to defeat entirely and kick them out. So the enemy came and said, we're not from around here. You know, they brought old wineskins. They're like, look at our shoes. When we left, they were new. You know? But listen, I'm being a little bit funny, but the enemy camouflages his work. So there were two ways that the enemy came against the children of Israel. The first one was a show of power. All the kings came together out front in their face. But the second way that the enemy came was not so obvious. It was with persuasion. The enemy has a voice, just like the Spirit of God has a voice. And they said this, why don't you enter into an alliance with us? Why don't you form a treaty with us? It'll be good for you. It'll be good for us. We're from way far off. You know, we're for you. We're for you. And so what they convinced the children of Israel to do was to go against what God had told them to do. Let me find the verse right here. Verse 6 in chapter 9, it says, they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. You can make a covenant with the wrong spirit. You can make a treaty. You can come into an alliance with the enemy. And just like all the kings came into alliance, you know how they came into an alliance? When they came into accord, or they began to speak the same things. How do we know that when we've made an alliance with the enemy, when we begin to speak what the enemy is speaking? Over our situation, over our church, over our leaders, over our brother or sister in Christ. If we're speaking criticism, if we're speaking judgment, if we're speaking negativity, if we're speaking rebellion, if we're speaking angry words, hurtful words, if we're speaking doubt, if we're speaking unbelief, then what we have just done is to form an accord with a force of darkness and forge an alliance and come into agreement. How many of you know when we come into an agreement, power is released? Amen. Listen, we want power to be released, but we want it to be released from the kingdom of light. And some of our problems are self-imposed problems because we may see the big enemy, the power play that he's got going on here out front, but we didn't see him come in from behind and get the inside track on us. And he set us up and we got hurt and we bought into that hurt. And the voice of the enemy was saying this, well, you know what? They really did you wrong. And you really, they don't deserve you to forgive them. How many of you know that's true? Let's call it what it is. That's true. But do we deserve to be forgiven? It's not about deserving. It's about truth. That's why it's so important that we have to keep our heart and our head in this book. This is our protection right here. So it's, the Bible says, you can go ahead and start some music because I'm going to close it out. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Right? Whatsoever things are lovely. If it ain't lovely, don't agree with it. If it's not true, then don't agree with it. If it's not just, then don't agree with it. Because it is a deception of the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy from our lives. He wants us to forge an alliance with him so that without our knowledge, he is weakening us. He's a double agent. He says he's with us, but when we're not looking, he's working against us. And we can't understand why we don't have power. I thought I had ammunition here, but we gave ammunition to the Gibeonite over here. And what the scripture says is, and you know, I'm not going to teach the whole principle in this. I don't know that I fully understand it, but they made covenant, and obviously covenant's a powerful thing, and then they wouldn't break covenant. And so what they did was they said, we'll make them water carriers and woodcutters. That's what they said. So look, when we come into agreement with forces of darkness, and look, I'm not talking about being demon possessed. I'm talking about being influenced by the wrong spirits. We're influenced by the wrong spirits when we listen to them. You've seen the old picture of an angel over here and a devil over here. And I mean, I don't know how theologically correct that is, but it gives us a picture of how it works. Forces of darkness. Darts of the enemy. They hurt you. Hurt them. They wounded you. Don't let that go. Whatever. Did you see the way they looked at you? They must hate you. All of those things are the voice of the enemy. So we can do one of two things with that voice. We can cast it down, or we can embrace it. See, a stronghold, Jimmy Evans says this, a stronghold in our life is a house of thoughts. The first thought comes, we don't get rid of it. Then another one comes from the Gibeonites. Oh, we're with you, we're for you. Oh, this will be best for you. And all the time they have our worst interest in mind. And when we go to the table and we form an alliance with them, here's what happens, even unknowingly. How many of you know, I said this in early service, a few months back, I was driving down the road, I think I was listening to K-Love, and I saw blue lights in my rearview mirror. And he pulled me over, and unbeknownst to me, and it really was, my tags were expired, Dwayne. How many of you know that didn't release me from the consequences? I may not know that I'm in league with the enemy, but God's given me every way to know, to be in this and to be with him. So why is he calling for a greater move of his presence in our lives? It's because he wants us to know what's going on. How many of you do not want to be in league with the enemy? How many of you do not want to give him up? Because when we do, what have we done? We've given him legal access to come and go as he pleases in our lives. And it's like, oh, I'm doing great. And then 10 minutes later, it's like, what's going on? And it's back and forth. Those are forces of darkness. We need to see them, and we need to resist them, and we need to break our alliances with them. How many of you know the devil can never open, or a spirit can never open the door to influence our life? He can only knock. He can only knock. We hold the knob, and we have the power to open or keep the door closed. So let me name just a few, and I'm fixing to close. Spirits of fear, spirits of worry, spirits of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, criticism, judgment, negativity, manipulation, control, pride, rebellion, self-righteousness, self-pity, oppression, depression, shame, and guilt. All spirits of darkness that seek to gain a foothold in our lives through deception, seeking to gain access to destroy us from within. Power and persuasion. The enemy comes both ways. He doesn't care how he gets us. We can be too weak to stand up against him, or we can be too oblivious to him. But how many of you know that God wants us to be overcomers? That's why we must have the presence of God. So let me tell you real quickly, three things you can do, and this is going to be my close. So what do I do? We're going somewhere we've never been. So God's going to bring us to a place where we're going to have greater trust and confidence in him. Number two, We're going to have a greater consecration to him. And there's going to be number three or number four on the points. There's going to be greater confrontation. And so when these things come, here's what when we recognize we must find ourselves in the presence of God. How many of you know we have to ask God? All of us today, and this is what we want to do with the close. The pastor's going to close us in just a minute. We want to give the Holy Spirit opportunity by surrendering ourselves to him.